Take a break from your busy schedule and join Harold Saleh for Guidelines, a 5-minute commentary on living.
In his book, Help Batter Your Sins, Lance Webb tells of the time Grimaldi, an entertainer and clown who made everybody laugh, went to a renowned Paris doctor complaining of deep depression. The doctor gave several suggestions, including books to read and things to do, which didn't seem to be received with a lot of enthusiasm by the depressed man. Finally, he said, "I can think of only one other thing that would help you, and if that doesn't do it, there's nothing else I can suggest. Go and see that great clown that has come to the city and is drawing such crowds with his merriment. And if you suffer depression after hearing and watching him, I'll be surprised." "Ah," replied the downcast patient, "I am that clown." Friend, have you noticed that sometimes a smiling face camouflages an aching heart? That people who really smile, smile with their hearts and their eyes show it. But a loud laugh can be a cover-up for a sad, empty life. I've also noticed that some people, having gone through very, very difficult situations, still have a look of serenity and peace which shows through the lines on their faces. There is still a kind of joy which rises from their hearts like a mist that drives away depression. They are not trying to impress anyone. They are authentic, real, and genuine. Viktor Frankl, author of the book Man's Search for Meaning, was imprisoned by the Nazis in World War II simply because he was a Jew. His wife, his parents, and even his children were all killed in the Holocaust. He alone survived. So how did it leave him? Angry, bitter, hateful, broken, and revengeful? Strange as it may seem to you, the answer is negative. Frankl later recounted how the Gestapo made him strip and he stood there naked as they cut away his wedding band. But said Frankl, "You can take away my wife, you can take away my children, you can strip me of my clothes and my freedom, but there is one thing no person can ever take from me, and that is my freedom to choose how I will react to what happens to me." And that power, the power to decide how you will react to the circumstances of your life, can bring a joy and tranquility which defy comprehension. This means that you can have a measure of joyfulness riding like a mist from your soul when happiness has eluded you. The Bible never suggests that you should strive to be happy, but it does tell you to be joyful. Writing to the Thessalonians, Paul said so pointedly, "Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Striving to pay back wrong for wrong produces bitterness, which becomes a cancer of the soul, and whatever joy may have been there withers and dies. In a real sense, joyfulness is a choice, a decision that you make which allows God the Holy Spirit to work in and through your life, shaping and molding the circumstances according to His sovereign will. Your attitude has everything to do with it. Friend, if today's commentary has struck a responsive chord down in your heart, may I suggest that you read the text of Scripture for yourself? Make a note of Paul's letter to the Thessalonians and discover what a tremendous difference these guidelines can make in your attitude. Remember Viktor Frankl's words, "No person can ever take away from me my freedom to choose how I will react to what happens to me." You may have no choice over the circumstances, but you decide whether to react or to respond. That's your choice. We invite you to visit our website at guidelines.org, and there you can print out or download it in MP3, guidelines.org.